Hello and welcome to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime. The pals are Arturo and Gozogos.
Hello everyone.
And I'm your host, Ace. In today's episode, we're talking about Spectral Force, a two-episode A from 1998, and released in English in 2001. Should probably add that. I chose this one because we've had too much good stuff for far too long.
Hey.
It was produced by Enzima International, Formtoon Works Manila, and Idea Factory. Though the first two have done nothing else, and the other makes RPGs like the upcoming Neptunia game maker R Evolution.
And Spectral Force.
Spectral Force currently has a Meta-List score of 3.57.
I didn't know that going into this at all.
I'm glad of that. I knew what to expect.
That's just evil.
This is based on the game by the same name, a war simulation game developed by Idea Factory and released for PlayStation in 1997. The credits say that it's based on the comic, it means manga, but that was never actually published anywhere because the studio that was making it went bankrupt.
Oh, lost media, even before the Batgirl film.
My synopsis is, the sword called Tenmarkin is the only thing that can destroy the Demon King, but will it? Arturo, what do you have?
After a fierce war, the world has been ruled by demons, though not for long, as the humans get hold of the demon-slaying weapon, Tenmarkin.
Okay, and Guzguz?
Oh no, this is how you know it's going to be bad.
A fantasy boy in American blue jeans finds a regular sword telemarketer, Junkin, the supposedly evil demon man.
Okay, okay. We open on an angel getting crucified and murdered. The narrator tells us the planet Earth used to be called Neverland, with demons and angels and humans and bunnies and whatever. I don't know. The Japanese version just says this is the world of Neverland. It doesn't say this is Earth, like, ages and ages ago.
But it is, though. I mean, at least in the game.
It goes on to tell us that this is the year 997 of the Demon Century, when the protagonist Chiffon has found the sword Tenmarkin, the only sword that could kill the Demon King and destroy the world. So, yeah, I suppose if you're going to destroy the world, that would destroy the Demon King.
I mean, two birds.
You'd kill all the birds. We then get the title Spectral Force and the episode title Phase 1, Rebirth of the Demon Forces. We open back on a king and a knight when something bright outside gets their attention. Elsewhere, an elf awakens and opens the window, telling us that the forest is afraid. Still elsewhere, a blonde is doing sword exercises and sees the glowing object before going Super Saiyan and summoning a golden dragon.
Oh yeah, he sweats a dragon. It looks like he sweats a dragon out of his body.
Dragon, dragon, sweat the dragon.
Oh no, this is going to become canonical, isn't it?
Like he, I don't know, he really flexes his muscles and sweat comes out and it's a dragon. And we never see the dragon again, by the way.
I was going to say, we don't see the dragon again.
I thought the dragon was going to swallow the flying thingy. The flying light.
Yeah, well, the glowing object hits the ground somewhere. And do we ever find out what this glowing thing was? Because we move on to Tenmarkin with Chiffon finding it. And expositing, in case we forgot, that Tenmarkin was the only thing that could kill the Demon King Janus.
Wait, I'm sorry, what's Tenmarkin again?
It's a regular sword.
Tenmarkin is the only thing that can kill the Demon King.
I'm okay, thank you. I think now that's going to stick for sure.
I think the flying object, like, was like a flare, like, someone found the sword. Here it was. Look. This is where I'm landing. This is where the sword was found. It doesn't help you, but shit. Now you know.
Keep an eye out. There are explosions nearby as two armies clash. And we see a bit of fighting before Janice and what we assume for now is his Grand Vizier or something teleport in and gloat over the humans losing the battle. We cut to, I want to say a castle, it's not really castle-like, where Princess Prana wants to know where Princess Hero is. But apparently she's gone off to fight a monster.
I want to correct a thing, like, the demon man doesn't speak, like, it's his inner monologue, and the woman just talks to herself, I guess.
Yeah, it's one of those things where we can't afford to animate his jaw, so everything he says is telepathic or something. If we animate the jaw, we need to, like, think of what the inside of his mouth looks like, and we just can't be bothered with that.
And it's easier to bridge that way.
I bet his daughter had a really tough time growing up with him as her father. Like, he would just say something but pretend that he didn't because he never moved his mouth. No, are you hearing voices now? What? I didn't say anything.
Outside the castle, we see Hero dive into a lake and fight a monster while nude. But it's okay, because she has no nipples.
Oh, thank God. I was worried about the unexpected nudity.
That's a very common sign of being a demon. You have no nipples.
Yeah, because, well, she's half demon, so that's why she has breasts. But she has no nipples because they're not functional breasts.
I don't know, now we're getting too deep and I'm getting uncomfortable. Let's move on.
Right, let's dive even deeper into this. Prana appears and saves Hero, and they return to the castle. And there's a plot twist in that Janice is their father.
Did you say Jared?
I said Janice.
Oh. I'll never remember that name.
Well, you only have to remember it for another 5 minutes.
Just this episode.
Elsewhere, an excitable chap gets the news that Prana saw him, Sato, and a big guy in her crystal ball. Sato laughs, and we cut to them fighting in the dark. The three of them are with Hero, escorting her on the way to somewhere. They discuss the positive aspects of mercenaries versus soldiers for what felt like a long time.
Well, don't you see that mercenaries want to be there and soldiers don't want to be there? So technically speaking, if you want to hire someone, you might as well hire a mercenary because they actually want to fight for you, while soldiers don't actually want to fight for you. So that makes the mercenaries a better group of people to hire than the soldiers.
Purposes of editing, I've removed 40 minutes of audio from this episode.
How dare you?
It's like when you call a plumber and he goes on a tirade how plumbers save more lives than doctors because they fix your plumbing and you don't drown. That's what it was.
Hero has a flashback to Prana sending her away, maybe. It's one of those many scenes where there's no words and so we don't know what's going on.
Wow, no words? That's unusual for this show.
Are they moving their mouth?
Yes.
Yeah, there's no sound when they are moving their mouths. It's all censored.
It's the opposite of their father.
When people are off screen, you can hear them all the time, but when they are on screen, never.
Elsewhere, Chiffon nukes some skeletons with Tamarkin before we cut to the castle, where Prana tells Janice that their entire army is in other places, so can't defend him. Janice reminds us, again, we are 11 minutes into this thing, that Tenmarkin is the only thing that can destroy him.
You know, I'm a demon king and I can't be destroyed except for this sword. But I can't be destroyed normally, but the sword can destroy me, you know.
Oh no, it's the mercenary tirade again.
Just telling everyone your weakness. I'm immune to everything. I am deadly allergic to pepper, but I'm immortal.
Except for pepper, you know, so don't have any pepper. But if there's no pepper, I'm immortal.
Back with Hero and the gang, the boys talk about her weapons and discover that she's Janice's daughter. Somehow they didn't know this going in.
Oh my god. What twist?
Hiro realizes that she's been sent away for some reason, and as they turn to head back to the castle explodes with purple light. And then the ground beneath them begins to rumble before a big demon comes out, so they fight it. Back at the castle, Janice reminds us about Tenmarkin. It has only been 3 minutes since he last did that.
Did I tell you about the sword yet?
He knows that he will die soon, but claims that he will destroy the sword as he does and prevent it from being used for evil. So basically he's admitting it will be used for good, but then I will prevent it from being further used by an evil person.
But also don't forget to not bring pepper, because like that's deadly to me.
Chiffon blows a hole in the wall and attacks, killing Prana. And meanwhile, Hiro and the others are fighting the big demon. And that just goes on. So Sato and Hiro escape. And he takes her back to the castle at super speed, somehow. And they arrive just in time to see Tenmarkin stab Janice.
So he just obviously ran away with psycho power, right?
It's the only explanation that makes sense.
It's either that or he's a werewolf.
I think he was just busy explaining to someone about the sword, and he got stabbed at that moment. He didn't notice.
That's probably why they cut away for us to see Hiro returning to the castle, because Janice, while Hiro was on the way back to the castle, Janice was telling Chiffon, "Oh no, don't stab me with that sword, which is the only thing that is capable of killing me. Did you know it's called Tenmarkin?"
Yeah, I think this whole time he thought he just found a regular sword. Oh, I can kill you with that?
Prana's spirit tells Hiro to use her magic scythe to free her from the mortal world, and the two demons rise into a flaming portal. So I wasn't too clear on, did Chiffon actually kill her, or like mostly kill her?
Yes.
Chiffon is about to attack Hiro, but the other mercenaries arrive and scare him and his unnamed party off. Later, Hiro is concerned that evil will rise without Janice ruling. And we cut to modern-day Japan, where a phone call isekais someone, taking her to the fantasy world and the waiting arms of someone we don't get the name of. And the credits start. The song is absolute nonsense, if the subtitles are to be believed.
I didn't bother.
Is it talking about the Demon King's weakness?
No, it's talking about, like, happy birthday, and that, I mean, it literally says happy birthday in English. The second episode begins with the same narration as the first episode, but it does add that Janice was killed and Hiro wanted to seek revenge.
What did Janice die to?
Well, it was the sword Tenmarkin, which was the only thing that he killed. The episode title we get is Phase 2, Final Battle of Jig Road. We open on toddler Hiro at the beach with her parents as old age narrates. It switches to her later, slightly later in life, and she runs from some demons and comes across some kids playing, meets a blonde kid who doesn't get a name but is probably definitely Chiffon. And then racist villagers try to kill Hiro for being half-demon, and one of them stabs either her or her friend Mei Mei before older Hiro wakes up from the nightmare. She holds her left arm, which is a big demon skull with demon fingers, and honestly, I thought it was just a weapon that she was carrying around.
Isn't the thing they could stab actually her arm, kind of like stabbed off? Or did I misunderstand that entire sequence?
I think it's implied that they sliced off her arm, yeah.
Okay.
But how does her sleeve go inside it? Like, she's wearing pajamas, and the sleeve is, it goes, like, in the elbow part of her demon skull arm. I mean, either that or it's detachable. And that just raises more questions, like, why is she wearing it in bed?
The pajama goes out of the gauntlet.
It's a fashion statement.
How does she get her arm in the sleeve?
It's a fashion statement.
We have to dissect this, like her nipples. We have to dissect her clothes.
Please, let's not dissect nipples.
We see a war room where Hero is getting a situation report from the mercenaries and someone named Baird and Maymay, now grown up. Since Janice is dead, you know, because Ten Markin, the one thing that could kill him, killed him. Once word hits the world at large, they're in trouble. Baird suggests joining forces with some humans, but Hero is against it because of what we just saw in her nightmare memory.
And also the fact that they used Ten Markin, the only thing that can kill the Demon King, to kill him.
Hero decrees that there will be no alliance, so Baird and Maymay leave. Shortly after, Sato is creeping in the corridor and angry exclaims, "Not all humans are angry creeps." That's a quote.
Which kind of came out of nowhere.
It's supposed to be aimed at Hero, but she's further down the hallway, so it looks like he's screaming at her, or she had zero fucks to give and just walked past while it was showing.
Also, I didn't get an impression that he particularly cared.
We also see the mercenary with glasses, whose name is Chick, and hadn't been named until, like, the next scene, creeping and watching this happen. So I guess all humans are creeps? There you go. First episode of the year, first racism of the year.
Nice, we've got to get it out of the way really quickly.
We cut to a battlefield a day or two later with Black Knight Greaser. I was going to make a joke about Freezer, but like this character doesn't factor into anything. And their forces facing off against the demons led by Hero. Sato wonders why Baird isn't leading his forces into battle too, so Chick fires a flare to give the signal, while Baird, Maymay, and his forces just watch. Why did they need a signal that wasn't just, hey, we're going to fight and you are watching the fight?
Well, they hoped that he was stupid and that's why he didn't join the battle. Maybe he was talking about that sword that could kill Jank and the evil demon guy.
Elsewhere, the guy from the end of the first episode, whose name is Jaro, or Jado, I wrote Jaro, but I heard it both ways. So. Anyway, they're getting a situation report before they kill the two, giving the report for, quote, being mean to me. He addresses Princess Little Snow, who is the isekai'd human, and tells her that they will soon rule the planet, and she will sit on the throne for him. Back at Hero's castle, the mercenary who isn't Sato or Chick, who finally gets his name, Zakipon, is injured after the battle, and they only have 100 soldiers left, but Maymay is certain that Baird's backup forces will come in use now. Now that there's no army. In the war room, Chick exclaims that they didn't join the army to get slaughtered. But we spent like 7 minutes last episode on the fact that these three humans are mercenaries and thus more loyal than soldiers who joined the army.
Yeah, let me just explain to you.
No. Rewind back to what we were saying all this.
Editing ace. Do that.
We'll see if the episode runs short and I might add it back in. Both Chick and Sato want to go with Baird's plan to bring human forces in, but Hero is still against it. In Chick's room, he tells Sato that he's turning traitor, but won't explain what he's doing. Sato helps Chick escape the castle without notice by shouting out the window at him as he runs, that they're all counting on him. We get a montage of Chick traveling for several days to Pliesta Castle. Chick is an awful negotiator with some green-haired ruler who does not get named. A ninja who does get named, but I didn't write the name down, smashes through the skylight and kind of attacks Chick, which angers Green Hair, who tells him to bugger off back to his own kingdom.
Excuse me, his name is Orochimaru. I was really shocked because I was like, wait a minute, that's the one from Naruto. You can't have this name too.
Oh.
He's a samurai, so he gets a something Maru name. Or something Suke.
Wait, wasn't there an Orochimaru in Onimusha?
Probably. It's a very common name.
Green Hair wanted proof that the demons will see her people as beautiful allies before she agreed to join an alliance. whereas Ninja just wants her to fight Chick, and then his people join the alliance. However, negotiations reach a stalemate, and we cut to a day later with the Demon 100 being addressed by Saito and Hiro. An attack is incoming, and Chiffon is part of it. This factors into it absolutely 0%. Though it seems he's having second thoughts about killing all the demons, since he, you know, tried to kill the demons. The invading army is ambushed by the demons before Jaro nukes both sides and calls to Hiro, naming her his sister. He had been banished by Janice because of his powers, and he was there to reunite with his sister and take up his rightful throne. She's not into that, so he attacks her, and Baird deflects the attack, which causes an explosion and makes Jaro pull a team rocket blasting off again. And for some reason, he's carrying Little Snow? Like, she wasn't in the scene.
She blocked the attack, didn't she?
No, Baird blocked the attack.
No, she blocked the attack meant for him.
Oh, yeah, she appears in the middle of some purple force field, so it's difficult to make her out, and she's only there for a second and a half. So I apologize. Little Snow does appear. Barely.
What's important? I mean, as important as everything else, which not important at all.
The leader of the human forces sums it up with weird, before wanting to resume the fight. But he's interrupted by everyone that Chick managed to recruit. We cut to Jaro and Little Snow, who apologizes for being unable to properly utilize the powers he apparently gave her. Back on the battlefield, the humans have run away, and Hiro apologizes to Chick because he was right to disobey her. Greenhair thanks Hiro for offering Chick to service her in exchange for putting her people in harm's way, and then Ninja asks if she's sure about being allies with demons. Like, dude, you basically forced her into this deal. What?
I mean, he was just probably fucking around and seeing what he can get away with, and... Are you sure about that? We didn't really want them in the cabinet, but now we have to deal with them, and they don't go to daily security meetings. That's a Trump joke.
I figured that was a Trump joke. Hiro says that she'll trust humans now, and we get a narrator telling us that Hiro is now more trusting and well on her way to succeeding to the throne. And the credits start. So, was this a good adaptation?
Naturally. So, I looked online, found a game from 1997, saw the intro, and that's all the information I could get. The Wikipedia page is empty. There's no more YouTube videos. So, you know what? The intro was close enough. Just screw it. Yeah, it was a good adaptation.
Well, you're part right. The Wikipedia page is empty, but the simple.wikipedia.org page has one sentence.
No.
Spectral Force is a simulation role-playing game franchises developed and published by Idea Factory.
Damn, how could I miss that? That clearly doesn't make it a good adaptation.
And then lists the platforms as PlayStation, PlayStation 2, PlayStation Portable, Xbox 360, PlayStation Vita, PlayStation 3, and Nintendo DS. So, complete lies. The latest release is apparently Someday Hands Gets Dirty Spectral Force Legacy from 2009.
I found Idea Factory fandom page for Spectral Force Chronicle, which seems to be a remake of the original game.
I thought it was a sequel, but go on.
Yeah, that's what I found. But I found gameplay for the original one.
Yeah, I found that as well. And what's your opinion?
I mean, from my experience, because I don't understand Japanese, it seems as disjointed as the anime, so I think it's a good adaptation from my perspective. And there's people fighting.
I think there's too much talking and not enough warring. Since it's a menu-driven game, it's impossible for a non-Japanese reader like myself to follow the story.
I mean, if we're gonna nitpick, then, like, in the game, you have like a bunch of little lemmings bumping against each other. That's the armies fighting, and they don't look like lemmings in the show.
So is it a Yetta, a Nani, or a Baka, Arthur?
This is it's a Baka for me. I didn't like it. It was weird, but I wouldn't say no to watching it because it was weird and it was bad, but it wasn't so like absolutely terrible. It was just boring. So it's like Baka throwing towards Nani for me.
Goes, goes.
I kind of liked it. Because it was so done. So,
Editor Ace, please just put the Discord disconnecting button sound here so everyone knows I left.
I just had so much fun, like, thinking, because it felt like an abridged series, the way it's edited, and people talking a lot while they're off screen, and
a bad abridged series, maybe?
Sorry?
A bad abridged series.
I wrote it in Discord that it was kind of like watching Kung Pao Enter the Fist, where a guy took an old Chinese martial arts film and he edited it to like make his own story and dubbed the voices over. That's kind of how it felt to me, and it was fun to imagine what was the alternative story for each scene.
Well, for me, it was the worst green screen CGI I've ever seen, and it didn't even use green screen CGI.
Oh yeah, it had like pre-rendered backgrounds, which I was wondering if they were from the video game and they just added character on top.
No, they're not.
At one point, I think when they fight the Demon King, they have like a top-down view and the little characters moving look like a video game sprite animation. Like, it's the same animation, the running animation, but they just move across the screen. I don't know, I think if I rewatched this, I could, like, pick many little dumb charms out of this.
I posted a screenshot of a frame where Chick's head is just cut off at the top because the animation cell was placed wrong.
Oh, that's straight out of Garth Marenghi's thing where they ride bicycles on a green screen and some of them are cut off at the bottom.
So does it deserve its My Animalist score of 3.57?
Yes. Hopefully. Absolutely, just entirely. We could do a better abridged than they did their own project.
Well, I wrote that going by Game Grin review scores, a 3.5 would be the highest score it could possibly get because it's functionally an anime that didn't just set fire to my screen.
But didn't it, though? Didn't it?
It made me want to set fire to my screen. They're about up to the end. Thank you for joining me, Arthur and Guzguz.
Thank you so much for having us. But before you go, can you tell me a little bit about the sword blade thing that can kill the Demon King?
Right, so it's called Tenmarken, and it's the only sword that can kill the Demon King Janus.
Nice, it's just that wasn't established properly throughout the entire podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Pals Anime Land. Thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameGreen.com, finding us on social media, or listening to the Greencast podcast. Until next time, game on.